2 Peter chapter 2. Appreciate you being here this evening. Glad God brought us all back together tonight. We look tonight with 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says down in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says here, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." One of those damnable heresies that creep in and has crept in through our churches now is a thing called generational demon possession. What they teach is that because your daddy was a drunk, you're going to be a drunk. You're going to pass that demon along to your children. They base this off of something said in the Old Testament, and they failed to read Ezekiel where God said, "I'm going to stop doing that right here." Now, that was years before. That was, you know, 1,000 years before Christ was born. God said, "I'm stopping that." But yet somebody dug this thing up and said, "Well, we got this new thing that God showed us." Beware when any man comes with you with a new thing. The end result of that thing is this. You don't have to blame yourself for your sin. It was somebody else's fault. Does that sound like something God would teach you?
No.
That's a damnable heresy is what that's called.
Yeah.
He says in verse 2, "As many shall follow their pernicious ways." I've seen preachers buy into that garbage and start preaching it. He said, "By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Very rarely do you get to go to church and not have to buy something anymore. We got this special speaker. He's got this special album with a special book, and it's only $100. It cost him 25 cents to produce it, but he can sell it to you for $100. I ain't talking about old ripoff. I'm talking about our crowd.
No.
Listen to this. We'll get up and preach against them yard sellers. We need to get up and preach against them other sellers too.
Yeah.
Right.
Verse 9. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished." You better believe God's got his eye on this stuff, and he's not going to put up with it. He'll deliver you out of temptation. But then that in verse 12, it begins to describe this. He says, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." I want to preach to you tonight on a title that you're going to, maybe some of you find familiar. It's called "Fakers Are Going to Fake, Fake, Fake." Fakers are going to fake, fake, fake. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, God, tonight for allowing us to be in the house of God. And Lord, as we look at your word tonight, God, you're going to expose phonies. Lord, it's going to help us to spot people that's not right and they're fake in the ministry, fake in the message, and fake in the pew. And we pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord God, to follow after you, to model ourselves after Jesus Christ and no human being alive, Lord, but our risen Savior. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord God. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in the way of truth for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. By way of introduction tonight, in the midst of apostasy, you can count on some things to surface. Number one is scoffers of the Lord's return. While you and I sit in this church tonight, there's a lot of people who are saying, "Well, the Lord's not coming in a pre-tribulation rapture. He's coming some other way." I used to believe all that, now I believe this. No, you're a scoffer. You're hoping God don't return at the beginning of that tribulation. But listen, if you're thinking he's going to come in the middle of it, you don't need to pack your bags. There used to be some guys in prison used to give some of us preachers a hard time about that. Said they'd went to seminary and they'd studied while they'd been in the joint and all this other stuff. And I reminded them right quickly, I didn't care where they went to school at. I didn't care who they had sat under. We go by the Word of God, not some cemetery. Amen. We go by the Word of God. That's the final authority. And they tell me that some of them guys, when they got out, they got Bible-believing churches, and they'd corrupt them churches and get thrown out, and then they were going around acting like they were martyred for the cause of Christ. No, you heretic, you got thrown out of a Bible-believing church because you come in with something that was heresy, and you was trying to get other people bought into that stuff. You know where they're at right now? You'll never guess. Back in prison. Why? Because if you pick up a false religion in prison, you're going to die with it on the outside and have to come right back again. That's the way that works.
Right.
Why do you think there's so many Muslims locked up in prison right now?
Come on.
It ain't because that's a gang religion. It's a fake religion. Mm-hmm. Secondly, let me say this. During the midst of apostasy, you can also expect to see sin in the public eye. People will not be ashamed of sin. And we definitely see that nowadays. We see people walking around that in open sin, no matter what the sin is. They'll even tell you how proud they are of it, and how nobody should judge them and all this other stuff. And that's fine. You can say what you want to. But when it gets right back down to it, God's not mocked. And listen, that which man soweth to, that shall he also reap thereof. You sin publicly, you'll be shamed publicly by the Lord one day. Thirdly, let me say this. During the time of apostasy, you're going to find a religion of comfort for everybody. The quote, church of your choice. You say, well, I'm not comfortable in Christianity. We've got Buddhism over here where you can sit around and sniff candles and sit around and snap your fingers and dress yourself up in a thing and be a fat guy and worship a fat gold statue if you want to. You say, I don't like that kind of stuff. You say, I'm more of a man's man. I'm a tough guy and I got a mean streak. Well, we can put an M16 in your hand and wrap a diaper around your head and you can be a Muslim then. Whatever makes you comfortable. That's what we're getting in apostasy. We say, well, I don't like either one of them. I'm sort of the laid-back type. Well, guess what? We make you one of them modernists where you don't believe the Bible, don't believe virgin birth, and you just basically don't believe nothing.
Wow.
See, they got something out there for everybody during time of apostasy because it's so hard to find somebody that's preaching the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to find real Christians. Now, some of you told on yourselves in your face, and I said, fakers are going to fake, fake, fake. You know where I got the title from, so don't lie to me. I ain't going to lie to you. Amen. Listen to this. When we deal with fakers and fakes in the church, there'll be fake preachers and fake people during a time of apostasy. It's kind of funny how Peter preached on this almost 2,000 years ago, and all of this was prophecy at the time. Now it's starting to come to pass. And I want to show you this. Here's a description of the fakers. If you look in verse 12, there is a seared conscience among these fakers. He said, but these as natural brute beasts. If you will underline that natural right there. These people are not spiritual, they're natural. They have a seared conscience. They're not listening to their conscience. They'll do whatever it takes to quote, get a crowd because their conscience has been seared. A lot of folks have never got to the concept of this. When you come to church, you're not coming for something natural. You're coming for something spiritual. When you come to the Bible, you don't get something that makes natural sense here. You get something that makes spiritual sense. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that this book is not a natural book. It's a spiritual book. And it's got spiritual things in it. The natural man, he don't understand it. He don't understand why people can read the Bible and say, I want to believe God and follow God. You know why? Natural.
Right.
He's got a seared conscience. And people that's fake people, they have a seared conscience. You can tell him there's 10 million babies killed in an abortion clinic. Yes, you know, he'll say, man, that's just too bad. Seared conscience. Nothing bothers them. When I worked at McDonald's some 25 years ago, we had this little tool in the grill that they told us not to tell nobody we had. It's called a searing tool. It was a little round ball with a little flat piece of iron on it. And you'd take that hamburger, if it wasn't doing right, you'd take and hold on that sucker like that and press down on it and get him done on the outside real quick. I think that's what's happening to our converts. We're producing more fakes and phonies than we ever have, and the reason being we're pressing people, not telling them about repentance. Therefore, they don't repent of their sins and trust Christ. They just make a little profession of faith. And the next thing you know, they got a seared conscience because we got them done too quick. I think that's what's happening. Some people call it picking green fruit. I always heard them say, well, if you eat green apples, it'll make your stomach hurt. Well, back over to little home place, back over where great-great-grandpa lived and all them, they had an apple tree over there. Me and my cousins, we was hard-headed like some of y'all are right now. We said, we don't believe that. Them things ain't green. They just them golden apples like we see in the grocery store. So we got us all a shirt full of them, and we sat down and eat them. Boy, I've never been so sick in my life. I wish I'd have drank gasoline and threw it back up, because it couldn't have been no worse than that. You talking about a pain, buddy. That thing hurt from head to toe. It's only in my stomach. Hey, listen, they got a seared conscience. Notice he said, as natural brute beast, he said, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things which they understand not. That's why they don't like to come to church and worship the Lord. That's why they don't like spiritual things, and why they got to have all this beer joint type Christianity, is they speak evil of it because they don't understand it. They don't mesh with it because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God in them to mesh with the truth. And therefore, they got to come up with something different that's going to be appeasing to their flesh. And because it's appeasing to them, they naturally think everybody's like them. And generally, people in sin think that everybody's in the same sin with them. It says that thing, but they shall utterly, he said, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Why? They have a seared conscience. That seared conscience is spoken of in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where he talks about speaking lies in hypocrisy. Watch this. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What happened to them? Somebody got them done too quick. Somebody pressed on them a little bit too hard and wanted to make them out to be something they wasn't, and they're not what they're supposed to be, because on the inside they're still raw.
Right.
Any of y'all ever been there before? Most folks I know, listen, most folks I know that if you are pressed as a child to make a profession of faith, you're lost, you wasn't done on the inside, but now you got a seared conscience on the outside, and you're pre-programmed to say this, you know you're lost, you know you're on your way to hell, to say, are you saying, well, yeah, I am. Why are you saying, well, I said a prayer. A prayer don't save anybody.
Right.
It's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Either you have him and you have life, or you don't have him.
Right.
I seen a church sign up. They said, he that hath the Son of God hath life. Boy, that's the biggest truth we in the Bible right there. Let me put it to you this way. Either you is or you ain't.
Right.
I notice that these people have a seared conscience when they fakers, and they go out and they fake. Why? They got a seared conscience. On the outside, they got an appearance of well done, but on the inside, they're not done. They ain't even got started to cook yet. Why? Somebody pressed them to be something they wasn't, and they still ain't that thing that's pressed to be. Amen.
Amen.
Seared conscience. Second description in verse 13, if you look at your Bible, verse 13, not only do they got to have a seared conscience, but they also have a secular Christianity. It says in verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. When they're outside of church, they live one way. They riot, man. Hey, they riot. And you know what a riot is? That's where you just go out uncontrollable.
Yeah.
I mentioned this morning about temperance being part of the fruit of the Spirit and how that spirit control over somebody's life. People that riot have no control. When preachers used to preach on this in the 60s, I mean in the 70s, they had the backdrop of the 60s and all those riots to go by then. And as time progressed up, we really didn't know what that was. Until recently, now we see what a riot is. It's just where people let the flesh go wild, man. They'll go out and destroy everything that don't belong to them. They'll tear up things they ain't got no business putting their hands on. They'll even kill people. Everything else has never done anything to them. He says in the Word of God that these people literally, they have pleasure in riot in the daytime. What are they doing? They are going out and laying their hands on the things of God and doing with it what they will. What do they have? They have secular Christianity.
Wow.
Secular Christianity is two words that don't go together.
Yep.
Secular means, you know, something that's of the world, and Christianity is something that's of the Lord. If you put them things together and the context in which it's showing here, you have a mess. It's kind of like taking and trying to make the world like Jesus, but instead of making Jesus like the world, those things don't work like that.
Right.
What we got to have is a spiritual Christianity, but instead they brought in a secular Christianity. So what kind of Christianity is that? It's a simple one. It's one where you can do whatever you want to, and nobody judges you. I've heard people say, "Well, come to our church. We don't judge you how you dress." You know, I've never heard that here before. I've never heard somebody say, "Well, you got to wear certain clothing to attend our church." I've never heard that. I just say, cover it up, baby. And that's to start with, you men. Nobody wants to see that. Ain't nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see your nasty legs, and nobody wants to see your chest and all the other stuff. Nobody wants to see your little John Travolta necklace you got on either.
Amen.
If it has lace on the end of it, it belongs to the woman anyway. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I knew y'all'd like that one. But I'll tell you something. People with that secular Christianity, they're trying to make the world, they're trying to make the church like the world. In fact, they said, well, we don't want to have a, quote, traditional church. And I want to have it in a movie theater. Why? Because you're a bunch of play actors. We covered in Sunday school this morning about what a hypocrite is. You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is somebody that's so good of an actor you can't tell what they are.
Yeah.
When people say there's hypocrites in church, they make good ones. You know why? You can spot them.
Right.
We was talking about good actors a while ago. Boy, I tell you what, we saw a guy, that guy that played, what was his name? Doc Holliday. He played Doc Holliday. He played Jim Morrison. He played Batman. He played all three roles so good. It was Val Kilmer, wasn't it? He played all three roles so good, you don't know what the real him looks like. That's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
That's somebody who can act so good, you can't tell what they really are. I bet if you got around Val Kilmer, he don't act like Doc Holliday or speak like him. I bet he don't have the philosophies of Jim Morrison, and he sure ain't got the money Bruce Wayne has. So how do you know? Because Bruce Wayne ain't a real person. See, look, use that head, man. I see this. I see that secular Christianity, oh, we're going to have it in the movie theater. Why? You got a bunch of actors up on stage. We're going to turn all the lights off, put black cloth everywhere. What color cloth again, yeah? Why do we want it so dark in there? Because men love darkness rather than light. That's why we want it so dark in there. We want to be able to identify with the bar there then last night. That's what we want to do. It's a secular Christianity. And it tells about this. It says about that. He said they are spots. He says they are and blemishes. It says sporting themselves. It says with their own deceivings while they feast with you. What they want to do? They want to have an ecumenical movement. Everybody get together. I just threw some stuff in the trash and they wanted everybody to get together for the cause of abortion. I'm sorry, but me and Catholics believe on abortion for two different things. I'm against it because it takes life out of the, it's murder. They're mad about it because they think when that baby dies, it goes to hell. And so does every true Calvinist too. They believe that same thing. I wonder how well that'd go in the contemporary church if them Calvinists got up and preached what they believed about abortion, if they really preached what they believed.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee you this, they wouldn't be back next week banging on the drums and all that other stuff and singing Kumbaya. They'd be saying, my God, get us back to a real church.
Right.
They've got this secular Christianity. What are they trying to do? Get everybody together. There's a reason for that. When the church gets raptured out of here, the devil's gone. He's going to be able to step in. They almost all locked up together now. The Protestants quit protesting and everything else. And they're going to get them all back together with one big secular Christianity. Isn't that something? They're trying to tell us now that it's the same God over all these religions. Boy, we're in the midst of apostasy. Nobody will say a word about it. Spots they are and blemishes. Why? Because while you sit here tonight, some of your brothers and sisters in Christ can't even worship in public in the Middle East without getting their throats cut.
Right.
I think that creates a spot and a blemish. Is that right? Two words, blood stains. Listen to me. These people want this secular Christianity and all this other stuff. You'd have that. I'll take the old paths like God said. We'll stick back to that old time worship. We'll stick back to that old-time Bible. We'll stick back to that old-time Holy Ghost conviction. You know why? That's what got us in.
Right.
It wasn't the bright lights of the contemporary movement that got somebody in. Oh, no, it was that Holy Ghost conviction where God dealt with us as sinners and showed us we was on our way to hell. And He brought us up, brought us near, and the next thing you know, He brought us in. Thank God for the old-time way. There's secular Christianity of these folks. And listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over, it says, with lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with all greediness. What happened to them? That lasciviousness come in. The word lasciviousness means an overt sexual desire. What did they have? Well, when they saw a pretty girl out on visitation, they done everything they could to get her in. You know, I've heard these people get up and complain that they were in church and such wouldn't let them sing. We've sat down two people in this church and wouldn't let them sing. Both of them were wearing clothes so tight that, listen, if they'd had a dime, you could have told what year's made in. No, we don't do that here. This is the house of God.
Right.
You say, well, now you're judging people. No, if you want on this platform, if you want to sing for the Lord, you're going to dress like you love the Lord too.
Right. Yeah.
See, that's judgmental. Count me in, whatever. I just know this, you men have enough problems without me parading some something like that up here. And besides, your wife ain't going to get mad at you. She's going to get mad at me for letting her come. Won't you, ladies? Tell the truth. See there? I knew one would be honest if none. You look guilty too, by the way. But listen to this. I see people say, well, you can't be like that. Why can't you? You're trying. Listen, we're trying to push holiness, not flesh. We're not trying to push secular Christianity where we got some diva up here singing to you. We're trying to push spiritual Christianity where we want the Lord to use somebody to use the words of the Word of God, maybe through a song, and bring comfort to somebody. And in some cases, conviction. But listen, that lasciviousness has crept in because it's crept in, that secular Christianity's crept in. And now all of a sudden they say, boy, we can do that thing, it'll be okay. No, it's not okay. You know why fakers are going to fake. They just keep on faking it. Just keep on faking it. One last description of them down in verse 14. Not only are they a seared conscience in verse 12 and secular Christianity in verse 13, but if you look down in verse 14, there's a spiritual cancer that comes with this. One of the saddest things you'll ever hear in your life is when your doctor says you have cancer. That's the worst thing you'll ever hear your doctor say. He could tell you that you had a cold and you'd be okay. You'd say, I'll just get a little of this, a little of that, and I'll go get Granny's rheumatoid medicine or whatever it is you claim that stuff is, and you'd medicate yourself and you'd be all right. If he said you had the flu, he'd give you the antibodies, and in about a week or two, you'd be over it. If he said your gallbladder's got to come out, fine. That's just a minor surgery now. We'll do that. Oh, you're hurting right there? That's your appendix. Let's take it out. I'm glad there ain't no, what do you call them people here tonight? No hypochondriacs here tonight, or all of them be going to the emergency room after service. But he'd tell you got that pain right there is because your appendix is about to rupture. We got to rush you to surgery. And listen, you'd be fine with all that. But if he said you had cancer, the first thing you'd want to do is cry. You'd think about talking to Mr. Blakely and getting your affairs in order, and that doctor would tell you you need to get your affairs in order, and you'd go talk to your lawyer and tell him you want to get your affairs in order. He'd send you the funeral director and you'd get your affairs in order, and somehow or another you'd get all that stuff lined up and say, well, that's the end. Let me tell you something. When verse 1 in this Bible says there's false prophets and false teachers among you that bring in those damnable heresies, number 3 description of those fakers is they are a spiritual cancer. Once they enter into the body, they multiply. You know how they multiply? You can only reproduce what you are. The reason cancer cells attack and kill is because they multiply. You know why? That's all they know. And when somebody is a spiritual cancer, that's all they can do is reproduce and make other spiritual cancers within the body of Christ. Look at the verse 14 there. Here's the first sign of their spiritual cancer, having eyes full of adultery. I was looking at this, and the thought just rang clear with me that in Peter's day, they had no computers, no internet, and no printed page. But yet, he described people as having eyes full of adultery. I wonder in the prophetic writing here if maybe God gave him a glimpse of 2015 in the ministry, how all these preachers have fallen through hiding behind an office door with nobody checking behind them. Nobody has their password. Nobody can look in and keep them accountable. And they fall into adultery by looking at something on the internet. Or maybe it's somebody that don't even have the internet, preaches against it, I'll never do all that stuff, but yet they got that television they claim to monitor, and they look at it on there too. Eyes full of adultery. I notice that thing can be a spiritual cancer. When somebody gets up and says that they've committed that sin, it's not time to promote them. It's time to set them down and help them out.
Right.
Get them away from it. I've had friends in the past who've got involved in that type of sin. They've had to resign their positions and step down and basically back up and say, I need to make sure I'm saved first. And then if they got to that point and they say, I'm saved, did God really put me there? And why did God allow that to come in my life if He was the one who put me there? Something ain't it. This speaking spirit, I'm just talking about ministers right now that's falling into that. Having eyes full of adultery. See, if there was no computers in Peter's day, and he said it then, what could be the problem in Peter's day that's the same problem now? You know what it is? It's where your eyes is going.
Right.
See, You don't have to have a computer to have eyes full of adultery. You don't have to have a television to do that. Because people fell in adultery in the 1800s, and they didn't have computer and television then. But they did have eyes and a wicked heart. And if you let your eyes wander too much, you'll end up buying something you don't want to buy. You'll end up, listen, have you ever come home with something you didn't mean to come home with? You just went to shopping and bought this thing and said, that's a good little thing. I bought this pen one time. It was the best pen in the world. It's right underwater. It's an astronaut's pen or something. It's the coolest thing in the world. I had no need for it, but it was cool. You know what happened? I looked at it, then I looked back at it. I said, I got to try that out. Yeah, now I can ride underwater. How many of y'all ride underwater in your lifetime? I will say this, speaking my own shame, when I see American Standard written on a toilet, that pen will write new right above it. But don't do that. That's wrong. But I find out this, if you look at something too much, you'll want it. Be careful what you're looking at. Because, see, that'll start a cancer in you, and it'll be a spiritual cancer. It'll kill your spiritual life. And it says they have eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. The reason they have no ability to cease from sin is because there's no conversion. Therefore, there's no power to overcome that sin. I've seen people get in a mess and have that spiritual cancer, and they come in, they believe the damnable heresy of the false prophet. They begin to fake like him, and now all of a sudden, they can't stop sin either. Why? Nothing inside. Nothing inside. They're like that seared conscience over there. They look down on the outside. The inside, there's nothing there. Hey, listen. When that spiritual cancer hits the body of Christ, it's because there's a lot of cells made up of nothing inside. I see also he says that about the false prophets there. He said that they cannot cease from sin. It says that beguiling unstable souls. They take advantage of new converts. I always love it how to see a church go out of its way, give gospel tracts out, preaching services, get folks under the sound of the gospel, witness to them, tell them of God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, pray for them, and then they get saved. And then out of the blue comes their friends, their family, and their coworkers saying, don't go to that church, go to our church. We got a better youth program. Where in the name of God was you at when that person was lost? I'll tell you where you was at. You was in the same place doing the same things with them. You know why? You were fake. You fake. And now that new convert's there, they're going to try to beguile that unstable soul. They've not been grounded and settled in the truth. So they're going to come along and try to get them to go over here and go over here and be part of this and be part of that. And they'll keep them so busy they'll never do anything for the Lord. You ever heard idle hands are the devil's workshop? Do you know that's not in the Bible? God says something exactly opposite. He says, be still and know that I am God. And when folks get saved, we need to get them settled and grounded in the truth instead of pushing them into 10 different offices with 15 different activities on 7 days. Wow. What's wrong with these people? They beguile these unstable souls. Do you know that beguile is something the devil does? You know, when God confronted Eve, you know, she said, the serpent beguiled me. That's a trick of the devil. Look at this. He said they have eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart, he says, they have exercised with covetous practices. And the only exercise that these spiritual fakers get is trying to exercise you out of your possessions, be it money or things they're trying to get them. There was a TV preacher a while back in the 80s that he was a famous TV preacher, and somebody in Spartanburg died, and they used to watch that person all the time. And they were contacted. They would send them like a dollar or two every month or something like that. And they were contacted by that fake TV preacher's ministries and said, listen, God will bless you if you give us your house when you die. They went to the lawyer and drew that thing up. Isn't that something? Guess what happened when Granny died? They got word of it up there at the main office. And they sent two representatives to Spartanburg, South Carolina to collect Granny's house. The kids were there. They were all mad. The lawyer was there saying it's all legal. And they said, wait a minute. You mean you take our mama's house and we didn't even know about this and you tricked her into that? And then guys are like, we'll sell it back to you if you want it. But the money got to go back to the ministry with us. Listen to this. I see clearly what they are. The only exercise they get is trying to exercise getting what you got. I remember when I first got saved, I turned on the TV. And I don't watch TV preachers now. I don't have to because the first 6 months I saved, I watched enough then to do me a lifetime. I watched a guy try to sell an ink pen. He held that pen up. It was one of them pens like we got back there in the back. And it had his little saying on it. And he said, if you'll send a $10 love gift for this pen, they cost back then 15 cents to make with a custom logo on them. He'll sell you one for $10. Fakers are going to fake.
Yeah.
I've never in my life, I thought, this is a gift to me right here. I'm not sure how much this pen costs, but I know this. If I was going to give $10 for a pen, it'd be something like this. Not something from some huckster on TV that I could get for 15 cents. There's an old proverb, it's a Chinese proverb, that says a fool and his money are soon parted. We got a lot of fools in America. What are they doing? They're out there exercising themselves. They're not building physical muscles, no, they're building wallet muscles with your wallet. Now watch this. It says about these folks, it says there that they have exercised with covetous practices, that spiritual cancer, it just spreads. They have big crowds and everything, but those last two words concern me. Cursed children. Every faker has these kinds of children. Every fake preacher you know has these kind of kids. And, here's what people will say. Well, you know why the preacher's kids are wicked like that? It's because they hang around the deacon's kids. What they say. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a fake preacher and he's got children like that, this is what happened to them. All of them that live one way at the house and live one way at the church produce what's at the house, not what's at the church.
Right.
Don't forget that. If they see fake at the house, they'll be fake in public and they'll embarrass you to death.
Yeah.
There's always an exception to this rule. There's always an exception to the rule on both sides. I've known godly preachers have 10 kids and one kid be just utterly wicked as the devil. Why was that? Well, the devil slip in anywhere, won't he? He'll take that one shot. And then, you know, you got 9 good kids. That one kid looks like he's representing all of them at that point. But it don't work on the other side where you got 9 bad kids and one good kid. They don't ever let that one good kid represent the bad kids, do they? Amen, friend. Come on, this is good. I'm going somewhere with this. Do you know why God lets it happen to preacher's kids like that? Those two words, cursed children. What's wrong with them? Well, because they sown all that fakeness, because they stole all the property out of them people, and they've been a spiritual cancer on the body of Christ, God let it creep in their home and destroy their home. I'm not speaking to you as a young man full of hair that's one color. I'm talking to you as an older man now, where I've seen that happen to people that was fake. They just kept on doing it, and it looked like they got away with it for a while. But again, God is not mocked. You know a person can walk around with cancer and not know it for a while? So can a church walk around with spiritual cancer for a while and not even know it. It may even seem healthy for a time. But then it comes out. Where does it come out at? I don't know. How many children's Bibles do we collect around this church? Do we have that problem here? There's some people that leave their Bibles here. I put their Bible up. They still ain't missed it.
Yep.
They ain't asked for it. You know why? They ain't asking for it at the house.
Right.
What's wrong with them? They're spiritual cancer. They're empty and they're spreading. They're multiplying. What happens to people like that? Well, usually it's told on them and their children first. Amen, friend. Listen. I know everything don't apply to everybody and God's got to give you what applies to you. But I'm going to tell you something. If I see these fake preachers, and listen, I don't have discernment where I say, well, that one's a fake and that was not, this one is, that was not. That's your job. Y'all are critical and judgmental. I'm nice, okay? I don't say stuff like that. But I do want to tell you this. For a fact, if you give people time, it'll come out what they really are. It just takes a little time. So how long? I don't know, 10 or 15 years. That ain't a long time. It used to be back when I was 10 or 15 years old, but now that I'm the age I am now, 10 or 15 years goes by like that. I remember, listen, I remember, listen, one day I got up shaving, the next thing I know I had a beard. I said, man, what happened? Time sure flew by. Hey, these fakers, when they fake like that, what happened to them? Simple. God didn't let them get by with it. He didn't let them get by. Why? Because he made them reap what they sowed in their own children, because they sowed it there at the house. Whatever you sow at the house gets to grow out of the house. You want to step on the cat and slap the dog? Guess what your kids will do? They'll step on the cat and slap the dog. Poor old cat and dog. They didn't do nothing to you. Hey, if somebody comes along and they see Daddy conducting business in an underhanded way, there was a guy who had this ministry and he used to say this. This was his tagline for everything. He would say, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Boy, his kids took that thing a long way and run with it. You know why? Daddy did. Daddy had bad business practices, so them kids have very bad business practices. You can't live like that. Why not? Your kids will tell on you. They'll tell on you. The Bible says over in Isaiah 56, it says, yea, they are like greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. What's wrong with them? It's very simple. Fakers are going to fake, fake, fake. Hey, let me ask you a question tonight. Are you a fake? Are you a phony? You know what you need? You need Jesus. You don't need religion. You don't need another God. You need Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. When I was 14 years old, I made a profession of faith because everybody around me was searing me, trying to get me to do it. So I did. So they'd leave me alone. And I found out something is true in Baptist churches today. If you make somebody make a profession of faith, and listen, as soon as you get them to say it, every church I know of will quit fooling with them. They'll think that person's arrived. You got somebody in the church that'll shout every once in a while, they'll make them a preacher. That's true. I know guys like that's in the ministry right now, that they were seared, pressed into that ministry. Now they don't know nothing. They don't do anything. And what they do is wrong. Why? They're fake. God didn't call them. They may be saved, but God didn't call them. But I see this happening over and over with people. You know what? When I was 14 and that was going on, I made a profession of faith that I knew wasn't real then. It wasn't like, well, I thought I got saved. I didn't even think I was saved when I did it. I thought, man, maybe people get off my back. And they did. They left me alone like there was nothing wrong. And I was 24 years old. God dealt with me in conviction. Old time can't run from it. Holy Ghost conviction. You know why? In the course of 10 years, I ran across some people that knew how to pray that said, I think you're lost. And I said, no, I'm not lost. I'm saved. I've been baptized. You know. And they went to God on my behalf and said, Lord, he's a fake and a phony. Will you save him? And God had two words in the Bible for me. You know what those words was? I will. He brought the conviction and he brought the conversion. And when I got saved, I went back and told everybody that tried to push me in that thing back and forth. And as I got saved, they said, oh, you just backslid. Huh? Backslid? Honey, I never upslid.
Yeah.
I never got out of sin until I got saved.
Right.
The word no wasn't in my vocabulary unless it had to do with church or the Bible. I was all about sin. And what happens is, when people fake, they say, man, I'm okay. I got my religion. You got yours. But boy, when God saves you, don't that make a difference? Hey, tonight, listen, if you're here and you're a fake and you're a phony, you need to get saved. Bottom line. Hey, there's no better thing in the world than to get rid of all that fake and all that phony and get born again. I have to say this. Best day of my life, got saved. I could be real after that. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Father, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. Lord, while we're here in the house of God tonight, there may be somebody here tonight that's fake and phony, and only they know it. God, I pray you'll deal with them and help them, Lord. I pray, God, you'll bring that sweet Holy Spirit of conviction their way and get saved. Lord, while we're here tonight, Lord, we've all struggled. We've had to deal with fake people and everything else. Lord, we pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord God, to stick true to them old paths and hang in there no matter what the crowd say and no matter what the cults want. And Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. Be with us during this time of invitation for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye